In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During the Epiphany season, the Gospel readings focus on miracles that Jesus performed. Driving out demons, healing St. Peter's mother-in-law from a fever, and many other healings. And in today's Gospel reading, cleansing a man from leprosy. There is an interesting comment included in the Gospel of John about the miracles of Jesus. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. So we are told that the Gospel writers were selective about which miracles of our Lord they report. Matthew in his Gospel gives us some idea of the immense number of miracles Jesus must have performed. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. So it seems that only a fraction of the miracles Jesus performed are actually recorded in detail in the Gospels. Why were the Gospel writers so selective about which miracles of our Lord they included? In ancient times, books were written on continuous scrolls, usually made out of papyrus, a paper produced from a reedy plant. There was simply a practical limit to how long such a scroll could be. The typical scroll on which ancient biographies were written was around 30 feet long, about up to the peak of our sanctuary ceiling. Much beyond that, and you would have to make the book two scrolls, which will double the cost and make it much more cumbersome to carry and use, and therefore more difficult to circulate widely. Although the four Gospels which tell the life of Christ vary in length, it's probably no accident that each one will fit onto one such ancient scroll. Because if you really wanted to spread and become well known, practically speaking, that had to be limited to one scroll. John in his Gospel is probably alluding to this when he tells us why the Gospel writers found it necessary to be selective in what they report. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose not even the whole world would have room for the books that could be written. Because the Gospel writers were selective about which miracles of our Lord they report, when a particular miracle is included, especially if in more than one Gospel, that makes us ask, why? The healing of a man with leprosy recorded in today's Gospel reading from Mark also occurs in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Out of all the healing miracles Jesus performed, why is this particular miracle included by three out of the four Gospel writers? A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." In the ancient world, leprosy was considered the worst possible disease because it was a slow, painful, living death. And because it was highly contagious, until recently, those afflicted with leprosy were usually forced to isolate themselves from their family and society for the rest of their lives in leper's colonies, perhaps the most famous on a remote island in Hawaii. It seems Naaman in today's Old Testament reading was an exception to the usual rule of enforced isolation because he was such a valuable general. Only very recently, with the advent of modern antibiotics, could this dread disease be treated successfully. Before that, for thousands of years, leprosy, something we don't even think about, had been considered the worst of all diseases, a completely incurable affliction of living death. That's why in today's Old Testament reading, When the king of Israel thinks he's being asked to cure Naaman's leprosy, he tears his robes in despair and cries out, "Am I God?" And that is also why this particular miracle is included in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because the astounding power Jesus possesses to cure even leprosy demonstrates in the most dramatic way that he is God. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." This miraculous healing of the man with leprosy also has a deep symbolic significance for all of us. For like him, we also come to Jesus to be cleansed, spiritually cleansed. As one of our hymns puts it, "From infection and uncleanness, from the leprosy of sin." All of us were born with the spiritual infection of sin. As David says in Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Humanity over the millennia has devised many different spiritual regimens and treatments that are supposed to cure us of our sin sickness. But there is nothing we can do that has the power to cleanse our souls. Like the lepers who were isolated from their families because of their bodily uncleanness, because of the spiritual leprosy of sin infecting our souls, we all deserve to be isolated in hell from our Heavenly Father for all eternity. I suppose the hardest part of being a doctor must be when you have to give people the bad news of a terminal diagnosis. St. Paul gives us the bad news in Ephesians. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." That's what the man with leprosy symbolizes. Like the horrible disease he suffered in his body, we are all by nature spiritually afflicted with a living death. Though we live, we are dead in our transgressions and sins. But Paul continues in Ephesians announcing the good news of God's miracle cure. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." The same Jesus who has power to cure even leprosy also has power to cleanse and cure and heal your soul. The Apostle John puts it this way, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Notice how Jesus both speaks to the man and also touches him, and he is cured. In the same way, Jesus still speaks to you, and he still physically touches you to cleanse you from the leprosy of sin. Like a doctor announcing a miracle cure, the great physician speaks to you in his word, the Holy Bible, proclaiming the good news that your sinful soul is cured on account of his own suffering, death, and resurrection. Paul puts it this way in Colossians. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Like the man miraculously healed of leprosy, so that his skin was pure and clean, the good news is, on account of Christ's blood shed on the cross, you are holy in God's sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Jesus not only speaks to you in his word, but just as he cleansed the man with leprosy by speaking to him and touching him in the sacraments, Jesus still physically touches you, cleansing you from the leprosy of sin. The washing of Naaman in today's Old Testament reading prefigures the sacrament of holy baptism. The early church father Irenaeus commented, "It was not without meaning for us that Naaman of old, when suffering from leprosy, was purified by being baptized. This served as a sign to us, for we are lepers in sin, who are made clean from our old transgressions in holy baptism, being spiritually born again by means of the sacred water and the invocation of the Lord." Paul puts it this way in today's epistle reading, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Through holy baptism, your sins are washed away, your soul is cleansed and made pure without blemish, worthy of heaven. Just as Jesus cleansed the man with leprosy by touching him, Jesus still physically touches you in holy baptism, cleansing you from the leprosy of sin. And just as Jesus reached out his hand to touch the man who was sick with leprosy, and then he was healed, today in Holy Communion, you will reach out your hands and your lips to physically touch Jesus and be healed of your sin. Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Drink of it, all of you, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, the great physician is dispensing medicine for your soul to heal you from the leprosy of sin. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Of all the healing miracles Jesus performed, why is this particular miracle included not only in Mark, but also in Matthew and Luke? Because this miraculous healing of the man with leprosy has a deep symbolic significance for all of us. You are like the man with leprosy, coming to Jesus to receive his word, to feel his healing touch in the sacraments, and just like him, to be cleansed spiritually from the leprosy of sin. But there is one big difference between this man's story and yours. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, "See that you don't tell this to anyone." Why would Jesus sternly warn this man who'd been wonderfully healed of the worst and most incurable disease not to tell anyone? Jesus was not playing a game of reverse psychology, trying to actually encourage the man to tell by instructing him not to, because today's gospel reading goes on to explain the reason why Jesus really did not want this man to tell anyone. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Just before today's gospel reading, Jesus says to the disciples, "Let us go into the next town so that I can preach there also, for that is why I have come." But now Jesus' main mission of preaching and teaching God's word is being overwhelmed by immense crowds of those seeking healing, to the point where Jesus can no longer even enter a town openly, but must stay outside in lonely places. That is why Jesus warns the man healed of leprosy not to tell anyone. The big difference between his healing and yours is that prohibition is no longer in place. Jesus now, in fact, commands the opposite. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So the big difference is, unlike the man miraculously cleansed of leprosy, Jesus doesn't want you to keep your healing to yourself. He wants you to share the good news of your miraculous cleansing from the leprosy of sin. He wants you to invite others to also be healed and receive from Jesus this same cleansing. He went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Like this man healed of leprosy, go and tell, spread the news. Amen.